Talk about a subject I think it is important for Christians to study. I don't hear a lot of lessons or sermons on this, and it's not the most easy subject to formulate a conviction on. Tonight we're going to talk about dancing. Dancing is a part of just about every culture and every generation that has been on the face of the earth. And tonight, I just want to give you some background about what does the Bible say. My goal is not to preach a particular view of dancing. I'm going to try not to get too opinionated on this, but oftentimes my particular opinion does come out in these lessons. But dancing is a difficult subject. Are we to look at all dancing being the same? And that's one of the things that kind of gets difficult, because as we look at it, there's all sorts of dancing, different types of dancing, what we might say. Just for example, this is not a complete list, but we know that there is such things as like ballroom dancing, which I think a lot of people would say is very different than the dancing we might find in a nightclub. Or there is stage dancing or square dancing. These are things that not only are different types of dancing, but they take place at different places. You have a ballroom, you have a nightclub, you have a theater. You have a gym, maybe like a school gym or something. You have bar dancing, school dancing. And not only that, we could break it up in not only locations and the type of dancing, but we could look at it as there's dancing that is group dancing, where there is a group that is dancing kind of the same dance, couples dancing, individuals dancing, perhaps in a group setting. All sorts of differences as we look at that. And so are we to look at all dancing the same, or do we look at it differently? Is where it takes place, is that important as well? And so those are the things that make this a difficult question. What should a Christian think about when it comes to dancing? Are some okay and others not? Or is it all the same? Well, what is your view of dancing? I can tell you, over my years, I've heard four different views of dancing, all held by Christians. I've heard this view, that all dancing is sinful. And there's a very strong conviction that is made along with this. And so this is a view that some Christians hold, that they would say it doesn't matter where or what kind, all dancing is sinful. I've heard this view from Christians. Well, they danced in the Bible, so it must be okay. And that kind of gives you your extremes, if you will. And then there is the view that, well, some dancing is okay, but some is sinful. To which we might ask the question, well, what makes it okay versus what makes it sinful? And then there is also a fourth view that says, I just don't know, so I'm not going to do any of it. And what I want to say is, wherever you end up on this spectrum, we are a group that always trumpets that we go back to the Bible and look for New Testament Christianity. We look in the Bible to see how they served Jesus Christ and how they lived. And whatever conclusion we come to, we need to do that when it comes to this subject. And I'm not sure that all the time when I hear Christians talking about dancing, if they necessarily have gone back to the Bible or if they even know what the Bible says about dancing. The Bible has to be a heavy weight. And when we come up with a conviction about dancing. And so as I talk about subjects like this, subjects where the Bible doesn't specifically say, hey, let me tell you whether this is right or wrong, I like people to consider these passages. For example, I think that Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 is something that we need to consider as we talk about subjects like dancing and dancing itself. The NIV states it this way, that Paul writes, but amongst you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And so if the NIV is a good interpretation of that, and it seems to be it is, what Paul is saying is that when we talk about right versus wrong, it is not always this idea that there's this clear line, and as long as I don't cross that line, I'm okay. When it comes to dancing, it's not just drawing a line, but Paul says we need to consider not even getting close to that line. If there is something about dancing that we're trying to justify, that there's even a hint of anything that people could see as being impure or improper, even a hint involving sexual immorality, then what Paul is saying is we should not be involved in it. I think that is a passage that sets a very important principle when we come and talk about subjects like dancing. I think as well, Philippians 4 and verse 8 is an important passage to consider, where again the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, writes, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or reputation, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Dancing can be one of those things that someone has a conviction on because of the way they were raised. It could be that they were raised in a house where mom and dad just said, it's all sinful, it's all wrong, and that's kind of the way they grew up. Or it could be that they grew up being dancers and see nothing wrong with it because it was always part of their life, their childhood, their life. But that's not the same thing as letting the Bible weigh in on that conviction. That's more of the way we grew up, the way we were told. And we need to make sure that we understand what the Bible says. In this regard, this isn't what we think. Well, dancing is right and dancing is lovely and it has a good reputation. That's the way I see it. This is a passage saying that we need to look at these things from the perspective of God. Is there something in the Bible that tells us or points that God sees dancing as right or wrong, or a particular type of dancing as pure or unpure, lovely or of good reputation? Again, it's not just trying to draw a line. It's about looking at the Bible to see if God helps us understand if, by principle, if these things are right and pure. And then we can let our minds, let our bodies dwell on these things. Dancing is not just an activity. Sometimes it can be something that we do as a spectator. And that's awesome. Another question we come up with, that we may not even be the ones dancing, but is it okay to watch others dance in this way or that way, that style or another? Let your mind dwell on the things that are true, right, pure, lovely, and a good reputation as God sees those things. And then I also like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, a passage that we looked at a few weeks ago in our study of 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Sometimes it's not just a matter of whether something is lawful or right or I have a freedom to do it. But Paul says as Christians we need to ask the question, is it profitable for one claiming godliness? Is it something that's going to actually help me in my relationship with God? Or is it actually something that can be unprofitable in my desire to live a godly life? And so these are the things and passages and principles I think that are important to keep in mind as we look for a conviction on these things. So what does the Bible say about dancing? Well, as I've gone through the Bible in my study and research, I've found that the Bible reveals that people in the Bible, both God's people and we would even say those who are not believers in God involve themselves in at least four different kinds of dancing. The different types of dancing oftentimes are the motivation of the dancing, the reason for the dancing. For example, in the Bible we see that people dance for joy, and that included God's people, what we might call the dance for joy. In a lot of these examples we see where people are dancing for joy are done to express a pride in some national accomplishment. For example, if you would, look at 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And in verse 6, this is where David is coming back victorious from battle. His soldiers are following him home. And it says, it happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. The women sang as they played, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands. So here are, interestingly, a group of women that are dancing. And I want you to pay particular close attention to that. That you don't have women and men dancing. You have women coming out to meet the men of war. And they're playing instruments. And they're dancing and they're singing. And it seems to be an expression of joy over the victory and joy that they're coming home and their safety. In Luke chapter 15, verse 25, again among God's people, we see in the parable that Jesus gives, and again, I believe Jesus' parable, though it's a story, though it's a parable, are rooted in the true culture of the people. You might remember when the prodigal comes home, the father orders the fatted calf to be killed and a feast to be made. And then in verse 25, as the older son was in the field, and when he came home and he approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And so part of the celebration of the son coming home, the prodigal returning, involved a joyous, it seems, celebratory music and dancing. Now, of course, that story doesn't help us to understand what kind of dancing and who was involved in the dancing. But it does show us, by implication of God's or Jesus' parable, that God's people danced in celebration and joy to express that type of feeling. Secondly, we see what we might call the religious dance. A dance that was done to praise God. And perhaps in a way to worship God. Look, if you would, at Exodus 15 and in verse 20. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20, which also is the very first reference to dance or dancing. at least the word itself in the Bible. I try to think of a situation in the patriarchal period, the book of Genesis, and I just can't think of an episode that involved God's people dancing. But in Exodus 15 and verse 20, after the Red Sea, the Song of Moses is written, and it says in verse 20, Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. Look, if you would, at 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is another reference to women singing and dancing, this one to express joy to God. But in 2 Samuel chapter 6, apparently the men also involved themselves in such a situation. 2 Samuel chapter 6, as David prepared to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, he celebrated, he praised God. And in verse 14, and David was dancing before the Lord with all of his might. And David was wearing the linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. And as mentioned earlier, with dancing. He was leaping about. Now, you might remember, as you continue reading the story, that his wife, Saul's daughter, Michal, saw David dancing and did not think of it as appropriate for the king to conduct himself. And she said something to David, and David did not take it well. In fact, he basically condemned her for her judgment. And that seemed to be the end of the relationship. And that's one of those things that's kind of hard, but it does show you that not all saw dancing the same way, but there's never any statement by God that David was doing anything wrong as he leaped about in praise of God. And so we do see that there was what we might call a religious dance, a dance to express the joy of what God has done and to praise God. Thirdly, we see what we would call a dance involved with idolatry, a dance in worship and celebration of a fake god, of a pagan god, of an idol. Probably most well known is God's people involved in Exodus 32 and in verse 19, what we know as the story of the golden calf, giving up on Jehovah God or Yahweh. They ask Aaron to create their god, a god, and of course Aaron falls under the pressure and gives them the golden calf. And God tells Moses to hurry back down the mountain. And we read in verse 19, it came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hand and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. And so Moses was not pleased that they were worshiping a golden calf that involved the dancing of this idol. And as you study about the pagans and their worship of their god, you would see that music and dancing was a big part of that worship, and oftentimes it would lead to other sins, sexual immorality, temple prostitution, and the such. And then fourthly, we see in the Bible what we might call the sensual dance, a dancing that was done to entice or to arouse the fleshly spirit of those either involved in the dancing or those that were simply watching the dance. And again, probably one of the most well-known is Matthew chapter 14 in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. And when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, and so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. And of course, we know what this leads to, the beheading of John the Baptizer. And I think most people see this as a dance that aroused Herod. And even in that, we see a problem where he's being aroused by the daughter of his wife. And so, as you look in the Bible, there were four different types of dancing, four different motivations or desires of what they wanted to accomplish with the dance. And I think that as Christians, we need to look at that and we need to look at our dancing today and say, where does our dancing today fit in this? Well, let's take a look at this religious dance. As far as I know, and in our day and time, in our culture, that there isn't anybody that I know that's saying we should be dancing for the Lord as part of our worship, praising God with dancing. I'm not talking about churches as part of the social gospel, having some youth dance at the church building or the fellowship hall. I don't see that as the same thing as what we see here. And so, I don't think that's really type of dance that parallels why and what people do today is dancing. I think we clearly see the idol dance wouldn't be something that God would approve of. That would be a sinful reason, if not even a sinful type of dance. And I don't really see that parallel. I guess maybe we could see someone dancing over a lot of money that he has just won. Maybe we see that as an idol dance, but I don't think that's really parallel to the type of dancing today. And so that leaves us with the dance for joy and the sensual dance. And I think with the sensual dance, I think that that is very parallel to a lot of the dancing we see today. A very arousing type of dancing that has become the popular reason for a lot of our dancing. And yet I would hope that we as Christians would see that that is not pleasing to God, that that would not be a type of activity that Christians could involve themselves in a public nature, that they would see as being profitable or of good reputation or something that would not even leave a hint of sexual immorality. And so I would hope as Christians we would see clearly that that would not be a type of dance that we would want to be involved in. And so that leaves us with this. If what people do today, is it the dance for joy? Is it parallel? Is that why people are dancing? Simply to express joy? Well, as we think about that question, I want to show you some things about what the experts, the scholars say about dancing. Just so that you understand. What are we talking about when we talk about dancing in the Bible? And especially we're talking about God's people, God's Jewish people dancing. Well, what we find over and over is that these experts say that the dancing in the Bible does not even come close to resembling our modern day dance. Now that's a tough statement because we've seen there's all sorts of different kinds of dancing in our world today. Are we to lump it all together? But share this comment with you from the International Bible Encyclopedia under the heading of Games and Dancing from 1949. Now, I think that needs to be in consideration of if you kind of knew what culture was like and dancing was like in 1949 versus the way it has changed and the way it is today. In 1949, they say of the social dancing of couples in the modern fashion, there is no trace. And so what he's trying to say is that we don't see couples in the Bible dancing together among God's people. There's no trace of it. We might ask, what makes biblical dancing different if it is different from modern dancing? And what the experts would say is that you never see God's people, men and women, they never dance together. There was no such thing in their culture as couples dancing. Men and women dancing together in the same space. And you might say, well, does that mean it's wrong because they never did it? Well, I'm not trying to bring that across to you. But what I'm trying to say to you is that as we are, let's get back to the Bible, as we think about trying to come up with a conviction on this, this is something we need to consider. Is there a reason when it came to God's people that men and women danced, if they danced, they danced separately? It's something we need to consider. Number two, we are told by the experts that dancing was not done among God's people just for amusement or entertainment. In other words, it wasn't, hey, let's just go out and have a good night of dancing and just have some amusement, some fun. The experts said God's people didn't do that. Even in the dance of expressing joy, it wasn't just to have some entertainment. Some amusement. Again, someone might say, well, does that mean it's completely wrong? Well, what I'm trying to say is, this is what the Bible says. This is what is involved in God's people. And it needs to be considered as we formulate an opinion, a conviction on it. Number three, something we all really talked about, but among God's people, dancing was not done sensually or promiscuously, provocatively, like we see Salome, Herodias' daughter, doing in front of Herod. God's people would never be involved in that type of dancing. And I have to tell you that I see a whole lot of this in our culture. One of the most troubling signs of it, in my own opinion, is when we see these dancing cheerleaders today, all the way down to high school and even younger, where there is the bumping and the grinding, and I just can't see that as an appropriate for a young lady trying to make a claim to godliness to be involved in that. God's people would not, as I see it, be involved in that type of bodily movement or dancing. And so this is what in my research God's people, what the Bible says about men and women and dancing. A few things here. This is from New Unger's Bible Dictionary under dance. The Jewish dance was performed by the sexes separately. There is no evidence of sacred or from sacred history that the diversion was promiscuously enjoyed. It wasn't a sensual dance. And even though it wasn't essential, they did it separately if they did it together. Fawcett's Bible Dictionary, again under dance. Dancing by men and women together among God's people is what the statement would be, was unknown. Again, it's things we need to really let weigh in our decision. Men and women never danced together, even on those occasions where both sexes participated in the sacred professional dances. They always danced separately. He shows there Psalm 68:21, Jeremiah 31:13. Dancing for sensual entertainment was unheard of among the Hebrews. Salome's infamous dance, which won her John the Baptist's head on a platter, was in the tradition of Greek dancing, a sensual art form rather than an act of worship. Matthew 14:6. And that comes from Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, again, under the heading of dance. So most of it, this is all about the Jews, and these references we've seen are all under that Mosaic period and God's Jewish people. So that leads us to this question, what about Christians in the New Testament? What about Christians and their dancing? Did they involve men and women? Did they do it separately? And the answer to that is there's just nothing about Christians dancing in any shape, form, or style, any location. There's just really nothing in the Bible about it. And not only that, the things associated with dancing, often the things associated with dancing are condemned in the Bible. The drinking, the drunkenness, and other things that go along oftentimes with dancing, the immoral dress and so forth. Those are the very things that the New Testament and the Christian age are condemned. And so there's really nothing to look at. Am I saying that Christians never danced? I'm not saying that, but there's just no record of it. And again, we have to ask the question, why? Is there a reason why that's left out? Why we don't see reference to Christians in a joyful dance, in a worship dance, of any type of dance, dancing for the cause? So, as we try to formulate opinion, I think we need to keep all those things in mind. Things to consider. What is the motivation for dancing? That is, I think, a true consideration that needs to be involved in our conviction-making process. Number two, where are we dancing? The location oftentimes could be a factor as to whether it's something that Christians should be involved in or not. Number three, what are we wearing to dance? Just because it's dance, does what the Bible says about being proper and modest and making a claim to godliness, does that just get thrown out the window? And again, it's something that we need to consider, not only if we're dancing, but if we are a spectator. Number four, what is involved in the dance itself? And so, don't know if we've ever really looked at what the Bible says about dancing, especially God's people dancing. But hopefully, maybe some things you've never heard, maybe you've never seen, but things to consider. We are people that want to get back to the Bible and make a claim to godliness. We want people to let them see our light, our good works. And each and every one of us needs to know in their heart of hearts whether this is right or wrong in that claim of godliness. If you're subject to the invitation call of Jesus Christ, you want to be right with Him. You want to be right with God in all that you do. If we can help you get that life right, won't you let that be known as together we stand and as we sing.